Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. By the way, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we were deplorable before deplorable was cool. And if you've been tuning in for some time, you know that. In fact, for 25 years now, I'd say. That's why I've referred to myself as America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. So I want to share with you a couple different observations from the terrible story of the military family that got booed on a flight a few days ago going to pick up their son's remains. He was killed in Afghanistan, and they were booed by liberals in first class because the pilot asked to allow that family to get off the plane first so that they don't miss a connection. I want to talk about that and also an aspect of their son's death, how he was killed, and see what you guys think about an observation about men in combat with women, intentionally, women intentionally in combat. And also, let's recall the second presidential debate. The highlight of that debate was when Donald Trump told Hillary, "You'd be in jail." I pulled up her statement. She said, "It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law of our country." And he said, "Because you'd be in jail." I mean, that was the highlight, right? His campaign has already indicated that, of course, he's not going to ask for a special prosecutor. In fact, he said during that debate, he said, "If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation because there has never been so many lies, so much deception." You know, lies and deception, that's not inherently criminal. And I don't understand why conservatives did not use the term public corruption, because that's what it was. Bribes, taking money, selling America's foreign policy to the highest bidder. That's public corruption. But at any rate, it's just another example, right, of Donald Trump. We saw it already on 60 Minutes. He's not going to try to stop abortion. He thinks, you know, if California wants to have abortion, let California have abortion. If New York wants abortion, let New York have abortion. Washington, Oregon, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Massachusetts, they want abortion. New Jersey, let them have abortion. And of course, if a state said, "Well, we want to keep slavery," that would be unacceptable because that's a violation of our God-given human rights. And if a state said, "We want to kill infants or handicapped children." Oh, I forgot. Here in Colorado, we do that. Denver's Children's Hospital killed Dylan Walborn. I mean, they didn't do it with their own hands. They told the parents, "Okay, stop feeding him." And he starved to death after 21 days. He wasn't dying. He was handicapped. You can see that at dylanwalborn.com. But at any rate, the campaign promises, you know, Trump's campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, she's been on Fox over the years. She's on his transition team. And she said today that Donald Trump is looking at many different things as he prepares to become the president of the United States. And things that sound like the campaign are not among them. And so that's so typical, right? That's so typical. And people say, "Well, what do you expect from a politician?" Well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 372 times, shame on me. And all the conservatives, they want to be lied to, and they want to pretend that they don't know that they're being lied to. And it happened with John McCain, it happened with Bob Dole, it happened with George W. Bush. These are all pro-aborts, and it's happened now most manifestly with Donald Trump. So we'll, of course, follow that. We'll have no choice but to follow that. We have a couple science stories to discuss. There's a new weather satellite that has been launched. It's called the GOES-R. And it's just really cool. Every Friday we do Real Science Radio. We've got a great program coming up this Friday. And we've been announcing our brand new video, just available in time for Christmas. It is Real Science Radio's Evidence Against the Big Bang. It's available on Blu-ray, DVD, download. It is so fun. It's so informative. It's just great. And we have Christmas pricing if you'd like to get 4 copies or 10 copies, or of course just 1 for you. So we'll be talking a bit about that. And we have a special guest coming on Friday to talk about a really important issue regarding the global flood. So Fred Williams and I are looking forward to that. But a couple science bits right now. Like I said, the new weather satellite. And also, there's more news on Noah. Now, not Noah from the global flood, but the namesake Noah, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Right up the street, you drive up from the Real Science Radio studio, nestled here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and you go up to Boulder, Colorado, and there's NOAA. And NOAA has been claiming that we're in the midst of a crisis, a global warming crisis. Now, I know they change it to climate change so that whether the temperature goes up or down, they could claim that they're right. But they keep claiming hottest year on record, hottest year on record. So it's really global warming, but they want to get an out since the global warming probably isn't going to hold up for them. So anyway, we've been reporting on the fraud out of NOAA and out of the International Panel on Climate Change. And here's just the latest documentation of the actual measured temperatures in the U.S., starting back at the year 1900. And on the same graph, and we'll post this, we've been posting these on our website, kgov.com/globalwarming. The measured temperatures are not what NOAA has been reporting. What they've been reporting, they have systematically changed. And we have mentioned this over the years. The data is becoming more and more obvious. They changed the early temperatures through the early part of the century to make it look like it was cooler in the U.S. so that in the 90s, when there was a natural warming trend, they could claim that the temperature was skyrocketing. And so this is all documented. And if you listen to mainstream media, NBC, ABC, CBS, get your news from the Washington Post, New York Times, you don't know any of this. But this is all hard data. So the measurements are different from what they have claimed. So they claim that the early decades in the U.S. were much colder than they actually were. Then when you look at the data, and all you have to do is chart the difference in the data, the difference in the actual measurements from thermometers to what they claimed, it just shows an incredible increase in temperature in the U.S. So it's part of the global warming scam. At our website, kgov.com/globalwarming, I just type /warm because that gets you there. We provide some of the absolute best evidence of the scam. And part of the best evidence is that the ice on Mars, some of the ice was melting. The polar caps on Mars was melting. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that the sun released slightly more energy, radiant heat, during a couple decades in the late 20th century than it had been. It's not a big deal. Minor variations in what we experience in our climate, even in the solar system. Okay, also I mentioned the new weather satellite that has been released. I just love it. We love science here at Bob and Yurt Live. And our current satellites that are pointed down at Earth, right? We have satellites in orbit that are pointed out at the solar system, at the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond. Well, we have way more satellites that are pointed down at Earth than we have that are pointed out into space, because we're a bit more interested about what's happening here than what's happening out there. Our current weather satellites, they take photos and video. They image the Western Hemisphere and pretty much all of North America once every 30 minutes, so once every half hour. So twice every half hour, our major weather satellite gives us a picture of North America, twice every hour. Well, this new GOESR, GOESR, satellite takes a high-resolution image of North America every 5 minutes. So 5 to 6 times every half hour. Where we used to get one, we get 5 or 6 in sequence to see what the weather is doing. And it could simultaneously focus on special areas of interest, which our current satellites can't do. They just do one thing. So this is multitasking, and it could image, let's say, a forest fire, heavy storms, a flood, earthquake damage, whatever, while it's continuing to take its, you know, do its primary duty. So that's cool, but this is how high resolution the images are. In the clouds, they can see waves in the clouds, like ripples or waves in the clouds. And that information will be accessed by airlines so that the pilots can avoid turbulence. Isn't that cool? So, I mean, they have some indication now, pretty good indication, where there's significant turbulence up ahead. But this is going to greatly refine that information. And so it's just another aspect of technology that is so fun, so cool, so encouraging. It's such a shame that there's so much wickedness in the world. And I'm so looking forward to the time for mankind. I won't be here, but for mankind, when the Lord returns and we have on earth a kingdom of 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign. I won't be here because those who believe in Jesus Christ will be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. He'll take us to heaven, and we will be there then over the next 7 years of the Great Tribulation and then the 1,000-year reign when Christ returns, his second coming, and then rules from a throne in Jerusalem. And during that time, the earth, righteousness will prevail on the earth, and Christ will rule with a rod of iron. You know this idea that God is not judgmental, that he forgives everyone? If that were the case, heaven would be like hell, and the millennial kingdom would be like Brooklyn or Beirut or worse, Detroit. So no, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be where women and children will be safe walking the streets, and you'll be able to enjoy your life, your prosperity, your technology. Wouldn't that be neat? Without wickedness at every turn, in every direction, attacking you and your family. That'll be neat. So we look forward to that for the rest of mankind, those who survive the judgment. When the Lord returns, he's going to judge the nations. It's called the judgment of the sheep and the goats. And those who were hostile toward God's people, he will judge right then and there. And those who were not hostile toward God's people, they will be allowed to enter into the millennial kingdom. And so it'll be 1,000 years. At the end of that, you know the story, there'll be a brief rebellion, and then the Great White Throne Judgment. And then the new heavens, the new earth, it'll be so great to be able to enjoy our lives, our prosperity, the things we do, whether folks are on the new earth, which is for Israel, and those Jews who trust in Jesus Christ, you know, before, of course, his first coming, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and all those guys, and everyone who trusted in the God of Abraham. And then since Christ, his 12 apostles and their converts. But then there was a transition in the New Testament in the book of Acts where God then turned to the Gentiles because Israel rejected their resurrected Messiah. And so every believer from the time when God turned to the Gentiles until now, we are all members of the body of Christ, and we will live forever with the Lord in heaven. And all those part of Israel's covenant, they will live forever with God on earth. And it's going to be really interesting to see how our lives unfold in heaven. How similar will that be to life on earth? And those who live on the new earth, how similar will that be to the earth the way God made it for Adam and Eve? And I think there will be getting hints from the Bible, Old and New Testament, including the book of Revelation. There's quite a bit there if you look for it. I think that life will have much familiarity with the life that we know, but minus all the wickedness. And that means no more Democrats or no more liberals, not too many Republicans, you know, all that. Anybody who advocates killing the innocent, stealing, socialism, government interventionism, all that. Sexual immorality, homosexuality, legalized prostitution, pornography, all that. The Bible says, Jesus says that there will be none of that. And those people who do those things, there will be none of them unless they turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive them. Okay, so anyway, a little bit of science there, real encouraging. I wanted to get to the family. It's a military family, and their son was killed in an explosion in Afghanistan at a U.S. airbase. He just died on November 12th, 10 days ago. Real tragic. The Department of Defense said the blast also took the lives of others, but this is about Sergeant John Perry. So he's killed. His father is an ex-Marine. Stuart Perry lives in Stockton, California. And so the family of, you know, you lose your son. How devastated they are. And they needed to fly to receive their son's remains. So they leave California. They get on an American Airlines flight. And the flight was delayed. So the pilot and the crew, they tend to know when they have special passengers. And this, obviously, this family, they qualify as special travelers. You know, we're all thankful to those who give their lives for our freedom so that our families can be free. We're so thankful. And so the pilot realized being late, the connecting flight that was going to be in Phoenix, it looked like this family was going to miss their flight to get their son's remains and the ceremony and all that. They didn't want that to happen. They contacted the pilot of the next flight. He said, "We're not leaving the gate until that family's on the plane." So he delayed their departure. So they land. And the pilot got on the intercom and said, "We have a special military family. They need to depart the plane first to make a very important flight." And as this family, it's the father, Stuart Perry, his wife and their daughter, as they're getting off the flight, they go through first class, and the first class passengers start booing them. They're booing them. One says, This is baloney. I paid for first class for this. I mean, that kind of self-centered lack of gratitude is, I know, you don't have to ask. You don't have to be told. You don't have to have the information. They were what we call liberals. They were liberals in first class. Now, is that, is it just a guess or is it a certainty? It's a certainty. Because in America, you know, liberals are those who tend to blame the cops when some thug, a thug who is recklessly endangering the lives of police officers and his own life, and he gets killed, liberals blame the cops, not the criminal. Liberals tend to hate the military. And so the question of whether or not these people booing this special military family of who they were, of course we know who they were, right? Hillary Clinton at her convention, she has the mothers of criminals at her convention. The mothers of criminals, of thugs, of people who commit suicide by cop, endangering the police, threatening the police, reckless disregard for their own lives, lives of officers. Hillary has those criminals' mothers speak at her convention on stage. She doesn't have the family members, the wives of the officers who are slain, but of the criminals. And so we know who these people are. The father said something about his son that's important for us to consider. He said, "My son made a decision that saved a lot of people." And that's just awesome. Jesus died for others. If a soldier throws himself on a hand grenade, he's a hero. Now, leftists, liberals, atheists, those who try to pervert people's understanding of right and wrong, they will say that those people committed suicide. Now, that's a lie. Suicide is when you kill yourself because you want to die. That's suicide. So suicide, if you go to kill yourself and you don't die, then you do it again, so you die. With suicide, the goal is to kill yourself. When a soldier is a hero and he risks his life or even sacrifices his life to save his buddies, he's not committing suicide. His goal is not to kill himself. And Jesus Christ, too, of course, right? Leftists, liberals, those who try to undermine the God of Abraham and God's revelation to us through the scriptures, the Ten Commandments, do not kill the innocent. And they advocate, of course, they advocate killing the innocent, right? Suicide, euthanasia, like Colorado, pro-abortion. They support killing the innocent and they oppose the death penalty for the guilty. And to be a liberal, that's pretty much the way it is. You have to support killing the innocent, but not the guilty, to be a good liberal. It's that way on so many issues, like with homosexuality. Homosexuality, you got to believe that gender is a choice, you know, like whether a child is a boy or a girl. You got to believe that gender is a choice, but homosexuals are born that way. Is that too much? Does that demonstrate how inane their wickedness makes them fools? To be a liberal, you have to believe that gender is a choice, but homos are born that way. It's too much. So that's an illustration of this point that, you know, to be a liberal, you have to advocate killing the innocent, but protecting the guilty. And so folks who are of that persuasion, they will advocate for suicide. And when we explain to them that the Bible shows us that suicide is immoral, because after all, you know, Judas Iscariot committed suicide. Judas did. Yeah, Judas did. And King Saul, the story is a bit lacking in details, but it looks like perhaps wicked King Saul committed suicide. And so the liberal will say, well, Jesus committed suicide. No, Jesus didn't commit suicide. He said to his father, if there is any way that this cup can pass, I do not want to go to this cross. But if not, if there is no other way, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord humbled himself to his Father because of his love for us and his love for the Father and for the Holy Spirit. And so, no, that's not suicide. So at any rate, this Sergeant John Perry, he didn't commit suicide. He made a decision that saved a lot of people, and I'm thankful for him and his courage. And that's love, right? Jesus said it's love to lay down your life for a friend. And his dad then said, I was told that he was found protecting a female soldier. He didn't get to live a full life, but he lived. And that was nice. But this aspect of women in combat, that remember, to be a liberal, you have to believe that gender is a choice, but homosexuals are born that way. Right? Leftists can't think straight. And the things that leftists get all upset about, like killing unborn children, making sure everybody could kill their children, and sodomy, and all perversion, and lies even about the temperature. One is that women should be in combat, except women should not be in combat for many, many reasons. But one of those reasons, because God made men to protect. The husband protects his wife, his daughters. The man protects his sister, his mother. That's how God made us. And if there is no man to protect a woman, well, yeah, a mom could be a pretty fierce protector of her children, and thank God for that. But you don't willingly, I mean, unless you're not a man, you don't willingly send a woman to a fight to defend you. You don't do that willingly unless you're not a real man. And we have plenty of people in authority in this country who are not real men, and they give in to political correctness, and they want to send women in to protect them, the cowards that they are. And so when a woman is part of the platoon, when she's part of the unit, let's say you've got a dozen fighters, and there's a threatening situation, you're taking fire, and there's one woman out of 12 soldiers, 11 of those soldiers will be thinking of how to protect the woman. So it's a distraction because of the way God made us, our desire to especially protect women and children. You're on the Titanic, the ship is sinking, there are not enough lifeboats for everybody. Women and children first to the lifeboats. That's the way men are made. Not cowards. Cowards are not made that way, but men are. And so the feminists who tell women, you're no good unless you can be like a man, the feminists don't care if they destroy women, if they kill men, the politically correct. They want to blur the distinctions of male and female because Jesus Christ said, God made us male and female. Jesus said that. He taught us that. And if your church doesn't know that, find a real church. Hey, we're out of time. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. May God bless you.